Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A lot of people across the metro today are remembering that it was 18 years ago today that an F4 tornado hit a lot of parts of Kansas City, including some parts of the Northland. And among those who are talking about it today are our friend Chris Katz, anchor from Channel 9 and friend of the program. And we're going to just talk a little bit more about that day and what we remember now. It was also the anniversary of the Greensburg tornado, which hit 14 years ago today. Chris is on the line with us. Chris, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, what is it about this day?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in a place where it's part of the deal. I mean, you move here or you're born here and you just sign on to, yeah, we're going to get some nasty weather from time to time. But talk a little bit about that morning in 2003. And at what point did it start to become obvious that this was not just any other storm?
Well, let the record reflect, your show producer was also in the middle of it all that day, and was actually at the moment it hit our house, he and his brother and stepmother and grandparents and aunts and uncles were huddled in the basement of our then 1-year-old house in Carriage Hill Estates area of Kansas City North. I will tell you this, as I get older, the day sneaks up on me. In fact, I just mentioned to Dana, I just told her that I was asked to be on your show today, and she said, why? And I said, it's May 4th, 2003. And she said, oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know. And so, and I didn't even think about today until late in the day yesterday. I happened to just look at the calendar to see what was coming up today, and it was May 4th. And then, first thing this morning, Nick Bender from First News on KNBC tweeted, first thing this morning, 18 years later, remembering the tornado, what do you recall about the day? And I had to jump on, and I said, aside from losing a house and almost a family that day, never think it can't happen to you, because I was that guy until May 4th, 2003. I never thought in a million years. And we were watching the tornado and its progress and the coverage on Channel 9 all day long, as we were in the middle of a birthday party for me and my then father-in-law. And we had, what, Jason? We had like 12 people in our house when it hit.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, and so we were watching it all day long as it started out by what was then the Woodlands in Kansas City, Kansas, 435. And we were watching its progress and Johnny Rollins in News Chopper 9. I mean, that, you know, when it comes to this kind of coverage, there just isn't anybody better than Johnny. And it was Pete Grigsby in the Weather Center that day. And our anchors that day were Jeremy Hubbard and Marie Antonia, who have both gone on bigger and better things. And so we were watching it. We were watching it all day long. And again, you never think it's going to happen to you. And I'll never forget hearing the sirens in our neighborhood. And again, you never think it's going to happen to you. And if not for the fact that my then mother-in-law stepped outside the front door to smoke a cigarette and saw it about, oh, Jason, what do you figure? A couple of blocks?
I'd say probably by probably down by their house. Yeah, so probably about two.
That would have been two or three blocks. She saw it two or three blocks away, and she wasn't quite sure what it was. And then somebody else came out and said, "Oh my God, it's a tornado!" And I guess Jason, because you were there, I was not. And I guess at that point there was this mad scramble to get everybody down to the basement, right?
And luckily, with how the floor plan was to the house, it was pretty quick access for us from the main living room area where the big TV was to go down into the basement. So that part was very fortunate for us. At least, you know, Dad kind of hit it on the head. We had been watching all day. The sirens had been going off in the neighborhood for hours. We just kind of had that thought in the back of our heads at the time. It's not going to happen to us. And so, you know, we never really, not to say we didn't take it seriously, but we probably didn't take it as seriously as we should at the time. But obviously reflecting 18 years later, I definitely have a different approach to these kind of situations.
And I was with my father-in-law at his house about three blocks away on the Gladstone side of Carriage Hill Estates. And we were in the middle of this birthday party, and I had this huge platter of butterfly pork chops that were about to go on the grill, and we were short on steak knives. And so Daryl and I went over to his house, and it hit his house first. And I'll never forget the moment that it hit me. I'm in my SUV in the parking lot, or in the driveway of his house, as he is trying to lock the front door, and there's just tremendous wind and rain, and I'll never forget, as long as I live, looking to my right, which was west on what is Northeast 63rd Street, again on the Gladstone side, and at the end of the street, probably half a block away, if that, there was this enormous charcoal gray wall. And our tornado wasn't one of those, at least to me, it wasn't one of those well-defined funnels that you see on TV. But there was this charcoal gray wall because the base of this storm was enormous. And I'll never forget, and it's hard to describe, but I was overcome with this feeling at that moment of, my God, it's here. And so I looked at Daryl, he looked at me, and then he starts to unlock the front door, and we go into the basement of his house, and it hit his house first. And so we're in the basement, we're in his unfinished basement of a house that he's about to put up for sale, and it hits. And yes, it sounds like a freight train, and tremendous noise, all of this debris hitting the house. In the end, his house took a hit, but not as bad as a lot of other houses. As I've gone over this a million times in my head, the experience probably lasted 30 to 45 seconds. And then it just went away, and it quietly went upstairs and looked around. And the part of that neighborhood there, again, took a hit. And there was some structural damage to be seen. But for the most part, homes were still standing. A lot of mature trees along that street were in the street. But again, everything, having covered tornadoes for as long as I have, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we just took a hit, but I've seen worse. And it looks like everybody's okay. Never mind the fact you go a half block in any direction and it's devastation. But I didn't know that at that moment. And so it was, and I'm on a cell phone trying to call home, and the towers were down, and so I never made contact with the people back at the house. And it was probably, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. One of the people at our party came running up the street, came running up to us, again, about a three-block distance, all out of breath, stops, and all he says is, "Everybody's okay, but your house is gone."
Just
so at
gone.
That moment, I start running, and then I reach that half block at the end of Northeast 63rd Street, and then I see it, and then it hit me. And I have a wildly different view of that moment, because everybody at the house and my then wife was pretty sure at that moment after the tornado had wiped out the house. But she was pretty sure at that point that maybe her husband and father were no longer with us. I at least had the benefit of knowing everybody was okay.
Yeah.
So I finally get to the house, knowing that everybody was okay. But I finally get to the house and see what was left. And then me and a couple of other neighbors start going house to house just to see if anybody was alive. Looking back, and I was thankful for this at the time, and I am increasingly thankful for this as I get older and more years, there's more distance between now and then. We never had to deal with a funeral. And I will go to my grave wondering how that happened, because not everybody walks away from that Ford tornado, because the Fujita scale at the time, this was a storm that was in the neighborhood of 205 to 250 mile an hour winds. You just don't walk away from that every day, and how the hell we did, I will never know. And a moment like that, if you don't believe in God, you soon will.
Mm-hmm. Chris, can you talk about maybe this wasn't an issue for you that day, and I've not been through that, but I grew up in a tornado alley and have watched a couple from my house when I was also doing the job or employed as a reporter. And it's a weird moment to be in where you become the story that ordinarily you would be reporting on. Can you kind of talk about that roller coaster of emotions between those two roles?
It has changed the way I approach the story. For instance, I was in Joplin that night, and I'll tell you, the Joplin tornado was, I remember calling home and saying, man, our tornado is nothing like what people in Joplin were going through. But it changed me in this way. The night of May 4th, 2003, when we lost our house, and it wasn't when you consider contents, it wasn't a total loss, but it was pretty close, okay? And I wish someone would have put their arm around me and said, you know what, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. It's not going to be a month from now. But it is going to be okay. And for us, it was. But in covering tornadoes after that, I've always made it a point for people who have been nice enough to share their stories with us. I've always made it a point that once that part of work was done, that I've always put my arm around them and said, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I've been through what you're going through. I know exactly what you're thinking. You have a million and one things going on in your head, and none of it's good. But I've always made it a point to say it's going to be okay. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be a month from now. It may not be 6 months from now, but it's going to be okay. You will get to that finish line. And I always try to leave them with just a couple of tips from having been there. One of the first things that we did in day two from that day was we finally sort of caught our breath and sat down and got a piece of paper and a pen and started mapping out, okay, here's what we've got to do today, whether it's find a place to live or storage or arrange, a truck to move whatever you have left. But start putting down on paper things that you need to do over the course of the next 5 to 7 days, and then follow that plan. Because your first instinct is to, you look at what's left and you wish you could wave a magic wand and make it all go away. I'll never forget looking for the, and again, we didn't lose everything, but it was close. And I'll never forget looking for something that my grandfather gave me. It was a rosary, and I couldn't find it, along with a lot of other stuff. But I found myself looking under the same piece of fallen drywall every couple of hours for about the next 5 days. Because and not that it was going to magically appear, but I guess I just didn't know what else to do. I was looking everywhere frantically for this. And I ended up finding it. That's the amazing part of just that particular story. I ended up finding it. I didn't find it there. But you do find yourself spinning in about 100 excuse me, in about 100 million different directions. And you don't know which path to take because you've got all this stuff to do. And as I say, you wish you could wave a magic wand and just make it instantly go away, but it sure doesn't work that way.
Well, I'll tell you, you jumped ahead of me, and I'm glad you did, because I was about to ask you if there was something that you still had that was a, I hate the crass word souvenir. I mean, it just sounds horrible in that context, but something like that, some kind of remembrance of that. Obviously, you have that rosary, and I'm just curious, where do you keep it?
Oh, it's in my dresser now.
It's in your dresser, okay.
I have a top drawer in the corner. I wanted that desperately. I wanted a watch of my father's that I didn't find until the next day, and that was a pretty special moment. But like I say, we're still here, and that puts everything. That puts everything into the right perspective, because at the end of the day, it is just stuff. And as I said before, we never had to deal with a funeral, and nobody's luckier than we are.
Wow,
Chris, real quick,
just wow.
How long did the recovery take? And I, emotional recovery, probably lasts forever. But how long did the move into a new house, normalcy take?
The emotional recovery does not go away, and that's okay. That's okay. May 4, 2003, we lost the house. We were back into our rebuilt house the week before Thanksgiving. And we were lucky, aside from the obvious, our builder had probably half as many crews working on homes at the time of the tornado as opposed to when the house was built. So we had people ready to go. Always check with your insurance agent about what's covered and what's not. We had we were properly insured, which at the time I got that policy, I'm not an expert at this. I assumed we'd be okay, but you never really quite know. And I always tell people to, if you have 20 minutes, call your insurance agent and simply ask the question, okay, if I get wiped out by a tornado tomorrow, how does this work? What's the process? Because I didn't know. That the night of the tornado was a very sleepless night for me, because I knew we had a homeowner's policy, but I didn't know what was in it. I had no idea. And so, or what the process was, and for all I knew, we were going to be living in a tent for the next year. But have that conversation with your agent about what the process, how it works, when you're supposed to hear from an adjuster. If you're covered in today's dollars for what you have and what you had, but have that conversation. It's important. So we had builders ready to go. We caught a huge break in that our foundation was still largely intact. We had to bring in some experts just to confirm that, but we didn't have to dig out a new foundation, which was big. So we could build on top of the house or of the foundation there, and we got demolition within about 2.5 weeks' time, and that was huge. And it was funny because we happened to have a news crew in our neighborhood that day, and they happened to just kind of stumble upon demolition work that was happening. It was my house, and I didn't go there. But they came back, and they were it was Donna Pittman and one of our wonderful photographers, Greg Steele, who's a genius at this sort of work, and they were they didn't find out later. Until later, that it was my house, and they came up to me and said, "Yeah, we happened to photograph the demolition of your house, and we are so sorry." And I kind of smiled and laughed, and I said, "Heck, where's the video? I want to see it." I was thrilled. I mean, it was you know, that was a good day for me. That was a really good day for me because it was a sign that we are one step closer to getting back to normal. And I will tell you something, that Thanksgiving and especially that Christmas, best ever. And we had a all of us who were in the neighborhood had a party, had a street party. We closed off the street 1 year later. And it was one of the best parties I have ever been a part of.
Can confirm. Because,
I would imagine.
Yeah, because it was the finish line. It was, we finally made it. And we're here and we're whole and, you know, we can move on with the rest of our lives. But we had made it. And that was a pretty cool night.
I'll bet. Well, Chris Katz, there are so many things that that came out of that conversation, and really, I don't think anybody's surprised to hear that Chris Katz is just a really good dude. And we got a text in from somebody on the text line that says, I can vividly remember seeing you, Chris, doing a remote from your damaged home, and they were crying for your family and for you. So, I mean, that's...
It was Peggy Bright, who was one of our first reporters on the scene with, again, another one of our fabulous photojournalists, Robin Davis. And Robin and I go back to growing up in the Quad City, so that's how long Robin and I go back. And Peggy, who is now retired, when I was heading back to my in-law's house to get my truck, and I ran into Peggy and Robin. And, you know, big hugs. Is everybody okay? Yeah, everybody's okay. And then there was this sort of odd moment of silence that I remember. And I said, Peggy, do you need an interview? she couldn't bring herself to ask. And I said, absolutely.
It.
And so, you know, it's what we do. So, it was fine. It was fine. But anyway.
Yeah, so kind to share the stories and to share your time with us today. We always love talking to you, my friend. And I'll tell you, this fall, when the Fighting Bees take on Augustana again, we'll get together and enjoy the game. Thank you, Chris Katz. Always a great pleasure hearing your voice here on the air.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Take care.